unless it craps out again like it did last week. Hello, welcome to the Mac Show. Yes, take two, because I hadn't clicked the record signs on Logic, so no one could hear anyone except me. But that's okay, because that's most of these shows. Great panel to start us off and talk through the stories of the week. Don McAllister, who's back from a trip to Macstock, and he's going on a Baltic cruise, you say?
I am indeed, yes, going off on a vacation this time. It's not work-related, it's just purely going a bit of R&R, you know. So they're looking forward to it, up to St. Petersburg and all around the Baltic. Should be good.
I have it on good authority that St. Petersburg is the stink, mate. It is.
Yeah, I believe it's really... The boat stays there for 2 days, so we've got 2 days there, so we're doing one of these escorted tours around, so see all the palaces and everything. So, yeah, it should be good.
Get yourself in the canals.
Take lots of photos.
Yeah, the canals. The only time I've ever been to St. Petersburg was on Project Gotham on Xbox. But it looked really good. No, you're taking the piss, but I have it on faith. I ain't good at authority. It's a faithful reproduction of the canals area of St. Petersburg, and it looked pretty awesome.
All right. So, yeah, looking forward to it. Never been around that part of the world before, so it should be good.
Excellent. Next to him, it's Matt Cass. How you doing, bud?
Good. I just saw Don over there in at Macstock.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're all buddied
up. That was good. Yeah, we had a good time.
What have you been up to this week? You get slowly more hemmed in the cupboard.
Just getting back into the swing of things. Yeah, stuff keeps just accumulating in here.
Yeah.
At some point, you will not be able to leave the cupboard.
Boxes like this, and then I'll just be sitting in the middle.
There's not even any room for your curtain anymore.
I didn't put it across today. I probably should. It'd clean up the shot. Definitely. I'm not going to worry about it.
All right. As long as you want, mate. Next to him, Patrice. How the devil are you, mate?
Ah, great. I mean, it has been a crazy week again. But, I mean, I'm already missing the bash, so we have to do it again.
We will. So. We've got the Gamer Show bash, which you can come over for, which is gaming in the north of Scotland.
Not so sure that's my kind of crowd.
South of Scotland. That'll be good. That's December-ish. That'll be about the 6th, 7th, 8th, something around there. I've got audio now, but Don is choppy. You want to watch what you're saying, Richard? I'm sorry, mate, but I'll send the boys around. And last but by no means least, my Guinness brother.
Ta-da!
Yeah, ta-da! Especially into the Guinness shirt, because I'm wearing a Guinness shirt.
Had to do that.
How you been, Steve Sandy?
I am doing just fine. Thank you very much. So I guess that's a good thing.
It definitely is.
Reviews. I've got a review later. Oh yes, I've had a good review unit come through. I've got a kill to later on the kill thing. The week in Apple, what's going on, what's been happening? Well, we've got to start off with first real shots of iPhone 7. And here's supposedly a real shot of iPhone 7 with real Bluetooth speakers, real lightning earphones, supposedly.
I think that's only a shot of the earpods, lightning earpods. I don't think that's an iPhone 7. I know it's got a headphone jack.
I was about to call Fakey McFake Face because of the audio port in the left-hand corner. That's just you reckon that's just the earbuds? Although
it's the earbuds, it's supposed to be, as far as I know.
I don't know how they've got the earbuds and not got the phone.
Well, there was video yesterday. There was a showing of the iPhone 7 showing the Apple's testing the camera, and that's the realistic looking fake I've seen so far.
Look at the Apple logo on that thing real close, and you'll notice it's all scummed up. It's a decal, but it's all scratched up in the lower left-hand corner. And if you look, it's not like digital artifacting. So that is fake.
So it's still fake. We're not calling real on any of these things.
Nope.
Well, the lightning earpods are looking like they might be a thing. It looks like two different sources have leaked those out or gotten a hold of those. And the reason why those are probably out versus an iPhone, I would imagine, is that you're talking about different factories and different manufacturing facilities. So there's probably less security, and it'd be much easier to sneak out a pair of ear pods or earbuds than probably a whole phone assembly, you know, a whole assembled phone.
Yeah, no, I think the earpods one, it just struck me as, it's one of the things that you do in photography is make sure that the lead disappears somewhere.
Yeah, that looks a bit suspicious, doesn't it?
Yeah. That could be five different pieces of equipment.
Yeah, there was another leak, though, that did show it. And this one here that you're showing, I think, has an accompanying video. I haven't watched the whole video yet. But
that, the dongle video going into the phone looks a little bit on the large side, doesn't it?
That was my thing with both these leaks. I agreed on.
Yeah, is that an adapter or... is it a normal pair of earpods
No, I see what you're saying there, because actually that could fit in, but I automatically assumed that was an earpods, not an adapter.
Yeah, looks like an adapter to me, to be honest.
It's supposed to be lightning earpods, not an adapter. Mm. The other thing is that the little rubber collar looks too short. The one that sort of supports the cord so that it doesn't break.
Yeah.
The little gray bit on the end, so it almost looks like they took a shot of, you know, the connector and just sort of extended the white part but didn't bother to extend the maybe gray part.
I think that's just a USB-C that they've rammed in. Shaved a bit off and rammed it in so it looks right.
I don't know. I mean, the thing is there's a lot of debate. The bigger conversation to have is what would Apple do. So if we assume that the lightning or the headphone jack is going away, what are they most likely to put in the box with the iPhone? And I think it was John Gruber sort of had five different options and made a pretty good case, I thought, for the fact that Apple likely would not include anything with an adapter, because by including an adapter, it somewhat admits that people still want a 3.5-inch jack. So if they put that in the box, they're sort of saying, we know everybody who buys an iPhone needs not Bluetooth headphones, not not wireless or not lightning headphones. They need a 3.5 jack. That kind of jives with, I think, how Apple would behave.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I forgot to change that shot. have we got any real stuff, or is it all fakey McFake?
No, I'm starting to believe that Apple is going to include lightning earpods as the solution in the box with the iPhone 7. Whether these are actually them or not, I don't know, but it's feeling like that they probably are legit, and that's what Apple's going to include.
I mean, it definitely would make some sense. They could introduce them this year, and when they, I don't know, next year or a few years down the line, when they drop the audio jack, then basically most people, or a lot of at least Apple users, already have one of the Lightning headphones.
Yeah, I mean, Apple are never frightened of changing a critical port on a device, are they? They're quite happy to not so much take the risk, but just force people's hands to go down that route. But I don't know. I think the push really still is to go with wireless headphones. I think the end game is to go with wireless headphones. Mm. But this is an interim solution, really.
Yeah. Well, by the way, I discovered one area where wireless headphones don't work. During flights, because you're not supposed to use Bluetooth during the flight, so that might be an issue.
There was a story about some Bluetooth earphones.
I was just looking for that too.
Where's it gone? Working on wireless earbuds with custom Bluetooth chip for longer life battery.
Mm.
Apple's working on a Wi-Fi earbud built around.
You're right back.
Steve's
one. You're right back.
a longer life battery life that is possible with traditional Bluetooth chips. Citing sources within Apple's plans, Forbes says Apple has spent the last several years working on a custom Bluetooth chip that's designed to solve the battery life problems and plague existing earbuds.
Mm.
It doesn't say how long it's going to go for, though. And it doesn't say what size they are. It's light on specifics, but...
I think this story is further evidence for me why Apple's probably going to include a Lightning earpod instead of wireless. I don't think they've solved the Bluetooth battery wireless earbud problem quite yet. So I'm expecting that to be something that they bring out later.
Right.
And that, what they're going to ship is Lightning earpods, because those are going to be inexpensive. They'll have Beats options that are Lightning and wireless on the higher end, for people who want that. And then there will be some sort of adapter purchased separately for those people who want to still use 3.5 millimeter, but you're going to have to pay. It's not going to be in the box. You're going to pay extra, and probably $20, maybe $30, and hopefully it's not $30, because that's going to be a big problem. Even $20 is almost too much.
Just pause it there, fellas, because I've got people telling me that it's shit. So, well, that might be the show in general. I'm not sure, but but I mean, so doesn't it make more sense though to do earbuds in the Beats brand, because they're keeping that distinctly separate, aren't they? So when you've got earphones with your iPhone now, you still get Apple earphones. You don't get Beats earphones.
Correct.
And I think that's a price point thing, or a marketing brand issue, maybe.
Correct. Yeah, the earpods are going to be the included cheapy things that you get, everybody gets with the phone. Beats is a premium brand. So this wireless thing that we were just talking about, you know, with the new Bluetooth wireless thing, I think that's more in line for, you know, something Apple would do in the Beats line.
So you think the wireless stuff that's coming is going to be Beats only?
Yeah.
Not Apple. And then the Apple's just going to be, although they do tell us they're not cheap shit on a regular basis, don't they, in the keynote?
Yeah, but compared to the premium brand, you know, there's a difference.
Definitely.
And we can argue whether or not Beats is a premium brand.
Mm.
No.
We want.
I don't think
I don't want to either.
I don't know.
But I know people do.
I don't think that it is. I think it's just King's New Clothes.
More of a fashion statement, isn't it? Or at least in the UK it seems to be. Like, the kids are down with Beats rather than...
Yeah, I've noticed this about my Bose Sports. They're just overly bassy.
Mm.
And I think that's, you know, there's a perception that too much bass means quality in general earphones that you come out with. So.
Well, you know, the primary clientele is, you know, the EDM, drum and bass, hip-hop, you know. So for them, too much bass is perfect, you know. Yeah. But once you start trying to do something like listen to a podcast and you let your beats make Patrice sound manly, then you know that there's something wrong.
Thanks, Doc.
So when you listen to
I just can't get over the fact he turns at 49 minutes late.
Yeah.
And then starts giving crap to Patrice. And I can't say who turned up on time, because he was 10 minutes late as well. So
Only two,
my ass.
Yeah.
It was about five, because I was about
that was late,
and I was behind you.
Get your clocks changed, man. Apple has launched, there's a Black Hat conference going on, and Apple have launched a payment structure for
finally
reports on bugs. Secure boot firmware components could get you $200,000.
Wow. Bounty, yeah.
Get looking, people.
Mm.
Bug bounty.
Only $25,000 if you get access from a sandbox process to a user data outside on the sandbox.
Imagine not just normal bugs, are they? They are specific security, high profile, you know, really scary bugs that they want people to sort of seek out, so this is why they're putting the bounty on them.
Apple's not immune anymore, is it?
Well, the thing about, you know, if you really look at these bounties, though, compared to what a hacker, if someone found one of these and was a Black Hat and wanted to put this on that market, they're going to get a lot more than $200,000 for a secure boot firmware component hack. A lot more, very likely, I would assume.
Oh, that's interesting.
You have more buyers, right?
I don't know.
These are good bounties, and they're going to incentivize the good guys You know, there's going to be a lot. It's the point is to get a lot more people looking, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. A lot more people incentivized to look for these things. So it's going to work, and it's about time that Apple did it, because they've been kind of slow to this party. Other companies have been doing this for a while.
Yeah.
I wonder what is the going rate for such a hack, because I'm kind of like, I heard Don mumble, and I'm kind of the same dude. Like, I don't know if it would be that expensive, but if it is, that'd be shocking. That'd be crazy. And then it would explain why people actually do crap like this. I just thought they were being dickheads.
Well, what did the FBI pay for their crack, supposedly? 1.3
That's true. I forgot about that.
Yeah, but that's the U.S. government. They pay like hundreds of thousands of dollars for airplane toilet seats.
Well, so
how much did they pay for the Chinese government a couple of months ago?
Or the Russian government, or, you know, for iPhone hacks? These are the clients.
What did you say, Don?
Wasn't there an iOS app that one of the U.S. government departments paid $100,000 for something, and it was like a timer or something that you could actually pick up for a couple of dollars on the App Store already or something. I just remember seeing something about 2 or 3 months ago along those lines.
Yeah.
No, it doesn't surprise me. Well, good on you, Apple. Well done. Looking for stuff. I think they're not immune anymore, are they? So they've got to kind of put something out there. But like you say, Adam, it'd be worrying is this really just not enough?
I think it is. I mean, again, they're not expecting black hats who are looking for these exploits and selling them to, you know, foreign governments or to, you know, really sort of nasty people. Those people, they're not, this money's not going to change that market. What it's going to change is it's going to incentivize guys who are looking for hacks on maybe other platforms, who are white hat hackers, who are looking for these things, or even gray hats who are looking to find these and then, you know, bring them to the attention of the companies, try and get them closed up. It's going to incentivize more of those people to actually, you know, work on stuff. So, you know, that's where it's really going to help out. And that's what Apple wants. I mean, Apple gets people to send them this stuff for free anyway. And they've always just been really secret about it. So, you know, there's always been holes. There's always been exploits. Apple just being, again, I think this is more of Tim Cook's Apple sort of opening up certain areas to make sure that Apple advances, especially in the area of security and privacy, even more than they already have. And, you know, I think a lot of security experts you talk to, Apple's kind of already in the lead on this, in this area. So it's only going to improve that.
Is this kind of a thing where you've only got to put up enough to make the person go, well, do you know, that's not too bad, and I can make a legit business out of this, and therefore I'm not going to worry about the authorities? Or do people just think, you know, it's a one hit, this is the one thing that I'm going to find that's going to make me money, I've got to get the maximum that I possibly can for it when I can, rather than...
Well it's a bit of a double whammy, though, isn't it? Because they win on two counts. They win on the fact that they're being proactive and they're being transparent about, you know, trying to fostering people to go and search out these bugs before the bad guys get them. And also it legitimizes people who might otherwise, you know, might be interested in that area, but it's always been a bit of a gray area. And, you know, how do they stand legally if they're trying to crack these things and look for things? Whereas it's now legitimized now. There is a bounty that they can go for. So I think it will probably attract more people in, more skilled people, people with the skills who could do this sort of thing and normally wouldn't get involved because it's a gray area, but now it's legitimized.
Yeah, I mean, you got to think too about the kid who's a college kid or a high school kid who's trying to figure out these exploits for, say, figuring out the next jailbreak. And now, is he going to, you know, give that up to the jailbreak community for free? Maybe, because that's, you know, sort of what his deal is. But $200,000 might also be a very big incentive to, like, hey, by the way, Apple, I discovered this. You know, so it's those kinds of guys that are going to be incentivized, I think, to maybe, you know, turn it over for some cash.
Samsung has listed the Apple Watch in one of its patents.
That was hilarious.
Yeah. Samsung has used the Apple Watch drawings alongside its own product drawings as an example of methods for attaching a band to a smartwatch. The Apple Watch's lug attachment site is clearly depicted with the bands like the classic buckle, modern button, Milanese loop and leather loop, suggesting that Apple's product designers and engineers are drawing inspiration from Apple's wearable devices. I don't think
Samsung never changes.
You want them to be Apple's bitch for the rest of their life.
I mean, yeah. How dumb can you be? Just.
Yeah. I don't think this is a dumb move.
If it isn't, then someone is very, very...
Well, hang on, because I think, here's my thought process when I saw this. Apple has, I don't know what patents Apple have got for connection of this to a digital watch, because everyone's gone with the classic buckle. No one's come up with an innovative design other than the classic buckle. So I'm just wondering whether Samsung's trying to show that Apple has almost... that with the bands that have come out, they've tried to throw as many ways of fastening a band as they possibly can at a digital watch and then tried to patent it so that Samsung are going, well, what else are we going to do? We can't do anything else. Because the only prior art we got is the classic buckle.
I think it's not about the buckle, it's about how the band attaches to the watch.
Yeah.
I think it's all of that because they're showing specific pictures of the buckle at the bottom. If you look at the other things, hang on, I've got the other picture up. It's showing the actual buckles themselves. It's not really that interested in the watch attachment. Mm-hmm. It's showing how the buckles fasten on the bottom. So I think they're going to at some point go, well, what else were we going to do? Apple have tried to cover every single kind of method of a band touching a watch and fastening underneath. So, and that it's almost like being trollish, if you like.
That's actually, Ewan, that's part of, at least in the U.S., I don't know how it is internationally, but that is part of the patent process.
It is.
Is you are told, and I know this because I worked on two patents, and I actually have my name on two patents for a company that I worked for. And one of the exercises we had to go through was we had the system that we had built. We had the thing that we were patenting. And then they came, but the lawyers came back and said, okay, now we want you to come up with every possible kind of iteration, adjustment, every variation of this thing. And we're going to write all of those out as well and put those in the patent. So you make the patent as broad and as open as you possibly can. And then if you get denied, then you come back and start narrowing it. But you try to start with the broadest, most, and they call it, literally, it's called patent blocking. You're trying to block anybody else from ever being able to do any other kind of variant. And we were even throwing in things with technologies that didn't even really exist. And we still got that patent. So, you know, at the time, now those patents, those technologies now do exist. And that patent would then cover those sort of variants. So this is very common in patent, in doing patents. This is exactly what you want to do.
Yeah.
But I can totally see Ewan's point that I don't know whether it is the right move to then try to patent it yourself. But well, it got them the attention that they probably wanted.
Ways to skin a cat has now been replaced with ways to fasten a watch. three gig of RAM allegedly coming in the new iPhone.
Yeah.
I mean, in terms of spec bumps, we kind of did cover this a little bit the other week, but in terms of spec bumps, the camera being kick-ass would probably be enough to get me to go. Mm. But and I know that having seen Ellis's 6S, that the camera in that is a significant improvement. The home button in that is lightning to open the phone. I mean, it's just, you touch it,
yeah.
Bang.
It's yeah, touch it is really fast.
Way different from the 6. So that's going to be a good thing as well. 3D touch, jury's out on that for me. I haven't got a clue whether I really want 3D touch or not. I don't see anything on Ellis's phone that appeals to me with it.
That may change with iOS 10. There's a lot more 3D touch stuff in iOS 10.
Mm. Right, okay. If they're putting a 3 gig processor, is that a natural progression or is that a significant leap and we're going to see an awful lot more happen on the platform?
It's a natural progression. I mean, RAM is getting a little bit cheaper and they can do more with more RAM. So, and it's probably same size.
Yeah. My theory is because this rumor is saying that it's only on the plus model, which would be the dual lens system. I'm guessing it's needed for the new camera system.
Yeah, that could make sense.
To do that image processing.
So I'm going to watch this keynote. Actually, is probably one of the few ones that I'm actually going to pay a great deal of attention to. I won't be making as many jokes this year because I'm actually thinking, right, okay, this is my upgrade. I've got a 6. So there's my 6 in me Mopey juice pack, and it's great. I love it. I didn't get the 6S because I didn't see the point. The 7 I would have been undecided on, and actually though, I'm actually thinking, well, you know, Cameron's good. They've upped the RAM. Does it do a bit more than my 6 does? Then yeah, maybe I will dive in, and I've already got the wife to buy in on having my old 6.
Mm-hmm.
So that puts us all on iOS platforms then, which means that everyone can have the music that they want, which is great. So, because I've got Apple Music signed up for. I'm being compelled a little bit, I think.
Yeah. Muller says in the chat room that Apple is claiming they lead and they follow. I wouldn't even say that. I mean, they are neither leading nor following. It's just a natural progression of that they will add more RAM down the line. It's not...
How many other phones have got a 3 gig RAM then?
I think there's some flagship phones from some of the other vendors, Samsung and others.
New Samsung has 4 gigs. And if you take a look at the iPad too, the iPad Pro, 12.9 inch, I think, is 4 gigs of RAM. So, you know, there's... I agree with Patrice. It's just a natural progression. You know, eventually, whether it's screen resolution or just what you're doing with the device, you are going to have to bump the RAM. So,
Again, with other things in life, Ewan, it's not always about what you have; it's what you do with it.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning that Apple often, when you look at spec tests, you know, even though the iPhones have 2 gigs of RAM now versus say 4 in a Samsung, there'll be instances where the iPhone is still outperforming with 2 gigs of RAM running the similar kinds of processes, real world processes, is beating out a Samsung device that has 4. So a lot of the other phones have more RAM because they require it just to achieve the same performance that, you know, a 2 gigabyte iPhone has. So Apple is very good about only adding the resources that they need, and I think that helps keep some of their production costs down and allows them to have higher average selling prices than their competitors, which is why they make more profit too. So they do less with more, but for, you know, legitimate reasons.
There's an interesting point in the chat room here, because I'm on a 6, so I missed 6S completely, and I've gone to the 7, which is kind of like the typical 2-yearly upgrade cycle, although I've never been on contract with an iPhone at all. But Bob Beach has put, I've got a 6S, so I'm definitely looking at the 7. And there's a bit of me thinking, I don't think you're going to see a 6S to a 7. I don't think you're going to see a massive bump in that at all. Apart from your wallet, yeah. Thank you. Good point.
The camera system is the only significant change, I think, that may be there, and that only appeals to a certain percentage of people. And again, how much better is it going to be is the question. You know, is it a quantum leap, or is it just another iteration? And I'm kind of feeling like mostly it's going to be another iteration, unless you're on the plus side of things and they're really doing something unique with that dual lens system.
Well, I think you've got a dual lens. I think it's not a dual camera. You might have 2 sensors that are identical, or 1 sensor that gathers stupidly differently somehow, but you're going to have 1 bigger piece of curved glass than the other curved glass and get an optical zoom effectively out of it.
It's, you know, I am hoping that they have some sort of like home run thing. Adam and I already said that we're probably going to get new phones regardless, but I think it would just be awesome for them to pull something crazy out of their hat, because one, no one's found it thus far, and two, because it would just be incredible for them to pull out something, because everyone assumes that we've got it figured out. All they're going to do is bump the camera, bump the memory, call it faster, and be like, here, buy another one. So it'd be really, really awesome if they can find what. We don't know what it is. I can't even imagine, because if I could, I would already be an engineer. But yeah, I would just love to see them pull something extremely crazy out of their hat that does something that nobody even thought of. Because to be honest with you, Ewan's going to blow his mind. It is becoming a little boring with just the basic bumps.
I think, but all the rumors say no, that's not happening.
Yeah, and that's why I'm saying that's what makes it absolutely incredible, because everyone has gone on this digging, and I say this once a year, so here's my chance, I'll say it once. I really hate all the digging, because it ruins the surprise. I actually completely enjoy surprises.
You turn up late and you say it every week. I'm not going to let the turning up late thing go. Don, are you buying it for journalistic integrity?
Of course, yeah. I mean, I don't think it's going to take the prominence that it has done in recent years. I think they're probably going to have a bigger story around the watch leading up to Christmas. So, you know, there will be the bump. I'm not expecting it to be an earth-shattering improvement, but it will be a significant improvement, and it will be enough to make, you know, people with sixes definitely jump for it, and those of us that have to keep up with the latest tech are going to go for it anyway. But, you know, the camera is going to be great. It's not just the dual lens, it's the processing behind it as well. So what they actually do with that camera system, with the physical camera system, you know, what they actually do in software as well. And I'm sure they've got all sorts of tricks up the sleeves that they're going to pull out of the bag for that. So, yeah, I'm not expecting them to make a big song and dance about the new iPhone this year. I think it's still going to be a significant upgrade, but I think the main focus is probably going to be the Apple Watch to give that a big push coming up to the Christmas period.
Yeah, can I pose a question to the sanest person on this panel ever? Do you find anything wrong with the fact that they do these, you know, annual bumps for the sake of bumping? Because Ewan and Steve over there give us crap for it, because Adam and I, we definitely jump on every lily pad as they move it. Mm-hmm. But I do the same thing with football jerseys. I haven't missed a United yearly jersey forever. And it's not just one jersey, it's three jerseys. And at $150 a pop, it's not that cheap for just a shirt that doesn't do anything but say that you're Manchester crackhead, you know. So like, I don't see why everyone poo-poos the fact that they do these. There's a lot of style companies been doing it forever, and Apple does consider it partially a style company. So I want Don's take on it.
Yeah, no, it's something they need to do. I think they need to keep pushing it along. You know, they can't rest on the laurels. And I think each time you have this upgrade cycle, it does force people who perhaps are quite happy with the phone, you know, they still make the jump because there's something newer and shinier and does things better. So I think it's definitely strategically for them. It's definitely a good idea that they do refresh it. And also, you know, people know when to expect these new upgrades now as well. You know, it's within you know, a couple of days every year on, you know, 9th or the 12th of September or something like that. So it's like this cyclical thing. You know, it's coming. People can budget for the new phone when it comes out. If they just sort of released it when they felt they had enough new features to make a huge increase in performance and spec, I think, you know, they wouldn't bring people along with them. They wouldn't ride the wave of the new, the cyclic version of how the iPhone is released. So no, they're definitely doing the right thing by doing this, I would think. And of course, you've got the, you know, the TikTok thing as well, whether that's going to continue. There's lots of speculation about whether or not we'll move from a TikTok to just having, you know, just a standard release every year. But
a tick.
So you don't know. The problem is as well that TikTok has always been the form factor. They've always had a major change in the form factor as well. Well, there's only certain numbers of form factors that you can change with the rectangular block of glass and metal. So
maybe they will release a triangle.
Yeah, or circular or curved or whatever. Yeah.
I want them to see them release
a glass ball.
Release a pear.
Release a what?
Pear-shaped one, just like oh, on yeah. On
oh, like your body.
No. There's a dude.
That was evil.
We can do this show with that. Well, what am I saying? We can do this show without. We do this show without you.
Wait, so he raises up the show, everyone, too. That's awesome.
No. It's some kids. One of the kids' channels. They have the pear, don't they, instead of the apple. On every show.
It was iCarly and South Park?
No, it's iCarly
South Park had that too.
No, there was a pear-shaped mock-up at one point. There was someone that said they were actually bringing a pear-shaped one out with like a wedge shape, you know, like the
what's the kids when the channel MacBook Air came out. There's a kids channel that's got iCarly on it and Victorious and Ellis used to watch it all the time and they all had pears. Oh, Givo, I'm going to lie awake thinking of that now.
Just ask the kids.
Cartoon Network, no. They have a Choice Awards, every Kids' Choice Awards.
Nickelodeon,
there you go, thank you. Right, enough of that. By the way, update. So did you all remember that I never get, when I get home notifications, so, hey Siri, when I get home, please tell me to do the following. Water the plants, yeah? And do you remember, I never used to get it because Siri used to think I was shagging the woman around the corner in the next road. So I'd get home on the map, I'd be where I was in my house, and it would show up correctly on the map, but my home was specified as round the corner in the next road. Yep. The last update that we got this morning when I woke up, now this is the best thing of all, because I set a home reminder the other night and I still didn't get it. Now my home is shown in the correct location.
Woo.
But I'm shown with the woman round the corner.
Nice.
So I've got to get that changed before the wife gets an iPhone and does Find My Friends. Otherwise there'll be questions. Has everyone tried the new app for the store?
At least seen it, yes.
Don, you must have done.
Only this afternoon, to be honest. And
it was only out today, wasn't it?
Yesterday. Was it? I don't know.
Yesterday, or the day before even.
Yeah, it very intelligently prompted me to get an silicone iPhone case for my iPhone 6S, but I've already got one, so.
Yeah, I got the same as Ewan, but I didn't
Super
like the
Super smart.
Case. Yeah.
That makes sense.
Is it?
Because they don't know your order history or anything.
No, you say that, because I went in and I bought Ellis's 6S, and I said, business customer. And they said, right, okay. And I said, you might get a discount then if you spent enough. And I'm just sitting thinking, what do you mean if? I bought an iPad, which I then threw on the floor in the hospital, which I then bought another iPad because I wasn't insured for it. I bought a Mac Pro last year, and I went through all these things, and I must have spent 10 grand with you in the last 12 months. And the guy went, no, you don't qualify. Hang on.
What?
And he said, no, you don't qualify. I said, so where's my Mac Pro? He said, you haven't bought a Mac Pro off us. Yes, I have. And so my Apple ID, which I give them, when it comes down to the business side, they never tie it all together. It's completely different. And I'm like, no. And he said, do you want me to get a business advisor to call you? Because then we can put them together. Yeah, that'd be great. Took me number, never called me back.
Oh, yeah, I was there when you did that.
Shit service. You were there, exactly, Patrice. Yeah. The fanboy was there.
If I look in my receipts, because you can actually go in and have a look at your self-checkout receipts, my one and only receipt is an iPhone 6S Plus silicone case red, and the only suggestion it's making for me is a grey silicone case for my iPhone 6S Plus. So
it's doing the same for me.
Well, this was what I was going to get to. You guys don't realize the recommendations are exactly the same for everyone. These are not personal.
Ewan is right.
I just logged into my receipts. We're going to do a mentalist thing. Apple is recommending for all of you, exclusively for you, that you all get the Brushstroke app. Am I right?
Yes.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
And the gray silicone case in lavender. Not gray. Lavender.
Yeah.
Lavender.
It's a miracle.
Because it's expensive, so it's lavender.
But you know, Ewan,
I look up my stuff and all I see is a Philips HomeKit, a Cocoon Grid, which I bought 5 years ago, and a lightning adapter. I buy, because of my, of previous affiliation and standard hookups, I buy somewhere in the neighborhood of 150 to 200 computers a year from the Apple store for various friends, because let's just say I still get my discount. And none of that is in here. That's funny. Like, I would probably be the most expensive Apple buyer in the state, but I got a crappy adapter, a home kit, and a Cocoon. The Cocoon, I don't even use a thing anymore.
A 5 year old
rickshaw bag.
Well, but if I'm looking, or I'm looking at this thing and it's showing only my self checkout receipts, not all receipts I can see. So it's showing, three purchases from 2012 and 2013.
It's for me. It's showing all my orders.
Yeah. It is showing all the TV
developer kit. I see everything.
You're German.
Yeah, that's why.
There's something. Steve, hold on to your boys. This sucks. You got this.
Do you guys?
This absolutely
yeah, it does.
Sucks. Steve, dig out your ear one more time. This sucks.
Yeah. Hold on. So the one question I have, and where I think this might be, is how many of you have them email your receipt versus give you a printed receipt?
Always email.
I have always email.
Always have the old man receipt.
Well, So mine are all there, and because I always use my Apple ID, the email that's attached to my Apple ID is the one that they send all the receipts to. So I don't know if that's the common thread, but my guess is that's how they're lining everything up. So if you used a different email address that's not attached to your Apple ID, you know, you're not using your iCloud or your Mac email address when they email you the receipt, it may not match up to your account.
And I'm only showing one store, and I go to all of the stores here just so I can visit various people, and every city I go to a store, and I always buy something, so it's really weird.
Mine went boobs up after I went, I joined joint venture, because I had to give a company name for that, because it was a corporate thing, and it's never tied it together since, so it's never tied my Apple ID to the corporate name.
Oh, it also looks like self-checkout receipts are separate from your just orders.
Yeah.
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 Again, I've only got two orders, the developer thing and the last keyboard I bought. So
do we all think it's shit?
Ah, there they are, the orders, definitely. Okay.
Oh, yeah. It's definitely but still, shit. I only
oh,
have
give them time, it only came out today. We've got all that data to churn through, you know.
Well, maybe it's just, maybe it's done. Maybe because I buy so much crap, it takes a while for it to land.
It's a new app. It hasn't had a chance to look through all the old data. That is excuse of the month, McAllister.
Don, I just got finished telling you that you were the sanest person on this panel. Then you pull some shite like that.
It's still indexing purchases. Sorry, we'll be back soon. And while we're on the subject,
my information on Liverpudlians is true now.
New apps. Has everyone tried the TV remote app?
You know, I haven't downloaded that yet.
Nor me.
Yes, no. I have.
Thank God someone has. I tried to work myself into a frenzy to download it today, and I forgot. Go on.
It works well. I mean, it has the TV button. It turns on my TV and my Apple TV with the one button. Gives you the keyboard when, you know, it works as you would expect it to work. I don't know that there's anything special about it.
When you have to enter a password, it will actually prompt you on your on the Apple TV remote app because it's easier to type that in. So
now, what about if you've got a new Apple TV? Will it pair up dead easy?
Well, I think it will only work with the new Apple TV.
No. As in,
if you buy a new one.
If you buy a new one. As in, if you buy a brand, say you've got a new one, you've got a new Apple TV, a Generation 4 Apple TV at home, and you think, fancy one for the bedroom.
Uh-huh.
Do you have a complex pairing process, or does it automatically find it? Or
I mean, for me, it just the Apple TV showed up, I tapped on it, I think I had to enter a code, and it was it.
Pair thing.
Yeah. Okay.
The one thing people need to know is it is a separate app. So you have the iTunes remote app, which is what I think the old one, and this is the new Apple TV remote. So it is a separate download, separate app.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, righto. We'll have to have a play with that. We'll see.
It's fine. It's totally uneventful. You'll install it in your code. It works like I'd expected it to. Okay, cool.
We've had a couple of reviews. Thank you to those people who've taken the time to give us a review. Please, please, please do give us a review on iTunes, because it makes a world of difference to our rankings in the charts and that kind of stuff. We've had one here from Chris. He says, love the show and look forward to it every week, and the news show most days. Always great fun, and even when there's not much news, the guys always make it entertaining and interesting. Keep the good work. I've just started donating on Patreon. Thank you to everyone who donates on Patreon. It's made a world of difference to us. Fernlow has put the Mac show, not sure if you love or hate Apple. I think you should find who does and who doesn't pretty easily. But I know you absolutely adore Tim Cook. Love the show, love the people, worth the time. And there's been one for Kyle as well. He does the new show. If you haven't listened to it, you should. Every single day, around 9 o'clock in the morning, you'll get it on your podcasts app, and it's just a summary of all the tech news. It's everything, Apple included. Just 5 minutes of a snapshot of everything that's gone on the previous day. He does a great job with that, really great job. Chris has put down, this show is probably one of the best tech shows on the net. Kyle Swagger has a great sense of humour and makes the podcast brilliant fun. In only 5 minutes every day, he gives a concise, entertaining review of the previous day's tech news. You must listen to this show, and I can't endorse that enough. You must listen to the new show. It is absolutely brilliant. And please give us reviews on all of the shows, because it makes massive differences to us. And we'll read all of them out, good or bad, it doesn't matter. We'll definitely do them. Thank you to everyone who has bothered to leave a review. And if you want to update it as well, that also makes a difference to us. So go back to your old review and update it, and we get credit for that too. It's one of the factors that definitely influences the iTunes chart position. Though the rest of it, I'm utterly lost, because Greenies is still at number 19 and he hasn't produced anything for 2 years. So I'm lost. Now that's a chart. Love him to bits and everything, but I don't get that at all.
Maybe the chart hasn't been updated in 2 years.
No, maybe not. This podcast and all the others is brought to you by UK2. Thanks to them, they give us the 100 TB server. They've renewed the server now. I looked on there the other... I spoke to them and said, oh, we need to renew with you. And they said, yes, that's fine. And I said, oh, at the end of that, we'll be 10 years with them, because they renewed us for another year. I actually logged into the account the other day and looked. They've renewed it for another 7 years.
Wow.
I think we're going to be sponsored by UK2 for the next 7 years, and we might have a legal case on our hands trying to give money back. Thanks to UK2, superb. That will make BTN 17 years old, 16 years old.
Crazy.
I find it hard to believe that in not next year, the year after, I've been doing this 10 years.
Mm.
That's crazy. You got a call, mate?
Yeah.
It's not me, it's you.
Yeah, that was me, that was me.
Oh, Doc's got a call. He turns up late and now he's taking a call on the show.
Tim Cook is calling.
It's Tim Cook, yeah. What? I'm just an inconvenience in Doc's life. Yeah, I'll turn up if I feel like it. Yeah, right. Also, thanks to Hoya, they support us beautifully. We've got some great stuff coming up with Hoya. I can't talk about it because I don't know anything about it, because they wouldn't tell me, because apparently they've all had signed NDAs for it. But there's something really amazing coming, absolutely amazing coming during the end of the summer. So I'm waiting with bated breath to find out what that is. They helped us by buying Mac Mini, and they've helped me with the glasses and that kind of stuff. And I've reviewed their glasses because they are rather, rather good. And please support Hoya. Go past an optician's. Just walk past an optician's. Open the door. Excuse me, do you do Hoya lenses? And if they go, no, we don't, you go, oh, shame, and walk away. That's all you've got to do. That's all you have to do. So please do that. Tell them you're British Tech Network as well. Shame. And whatever you do, stop what you're doing now. Take the time. Tweet out, thanks to Hoya. Thanks to UK2 for supporting at British Tech. Just put that out on social media, in Facebook, anywhere you like. Just send that and say thanks very much, because they make a massive difference to us. We couldn't do what we do. We couldn't do the NQL channel. We couldn't do the live shows, because they give us all the servers for that. You know, we get £1,500 worth of servers off them every year. Cool. Right, it's time for the cool thing. Best bit of the show, easily. Don, do you have a cool thing, or do you want me to come back to you?
No, go on, I've got one. It's a cable. Now, we're all used to our lightning cables and being able to plug them in both ways. You've probably covered this before, actually, because it's been out for a while. But this is...
You stole my second pick.
Pardon?
You stole my second pick.
Oh, sorry.
No, go for it, because it saves me doing it.
It's a reversible micro USB cable by MacFlip. See, McAllister, MacFlip.
All right.
Not related at all, though, but it's great. It's just a USB, micro USB cable. So, I've still got loads of devices that I still need USB for. My Jawbone Jambox and my Bluetooth headphones use micro USB. So you just plug it in, don't have to worry which way it goes in, just goes in either way. So that's a reversible USB, micro USB cable by MacFlip.
Now that's awesome, because I reviewed that and said it was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Is it the one though?
The one what?
Is it the version one cable?
Ah, I don't know. How would you tell? I've had it for a couple of months, I have to say.
Because
what's the difference?
I've got the version 2 cable.
Ah.
And you're holding up this end and saying, oh, that's reversible, look.
Oh, no, this is a... Oh, no, this bit's reversible.
Yeah.
That bit isn't.
Oh, right, well, my bit is.
Ooh, there you even go. Better.
I think that's focusing. There we go.
Yeah.
That is completely reversible on the thick end as well. That's the version 2 cable.
All right. So okay. I
totally endorse the version. No, I totally endorse. I totally endorse the version one cable. Well done. But there you go. They've just sent me that for review.
Oh, fantastic!
So you get both ends completely reversible now, and that it's quite clever. It does bend and flex out of the way, but it's you know, one of the problems that you always get with USB is when you shove it in and it bends and flex slightly so that it makes the contact, but eventually it bends so much that it stops being flexible. Because you can put this in both ways, it bends and flex in both directions. So you're not going to get that problem. But that's the MatFlip version 2. So
I still always plug in USB cables three times. Once doesn't fit, turn it over, it doesn't fit. Turn it back the way you did the first time and it fits. So
if anybody wants to take that last 5 minutes of audio and do some very creative editing, you guys could be in trouble. It fits. I'm just going to say that right now.
Oh, don't it fits.
You got to turn around and make it fit again.
I put it in three times. It goes in both ways. I can flip it around. It
both ends are reversible.
Look at that. Don's having a glass of wine and a cigarette now. Good pick, mate. Good pick. Adam, what have you got for us, mate?
I'm actually going to do something a little bit different. I'm going to recommend that you follow a Twitter account, and believe it or not, it's not mine. There is a Twitter account called Sketch Dailies, Sketch_Dailies, and the reason I'm recommending this is what they do is they put out a challenge for artists each day, and each day, then artists reply to this Twitter account with sketches on a theme. So they might do Disney characters, or they might do Pixar characters, or popular movies. Like, I think recently they've done Suicide Squad. But all this week they've been doing Stranger Things, which is a great show on Netflix. And I can't remember if someone picked Stranger Things or not. I guess that would be a bonus pick if you haven't seen it. Great original TV show. I think there's 8 episodes, very much in the vein of classic 80s movies like E.T. I mean, it's kind of a sci-fi horror thing, but it's got some E.T. vibes, and there's a lot of comparisons being made to a lot of other films from the 80s, but it's totally original. But this week, Sketch Dailies is doing all the characters from that Netflix series. So Stranger Things is on Netflix, and I know it's out in the UK and the US. I don't know what other countries you can get it in at this point. But go to that feed, follow the, you know, go check out the replies, and you can see all this great artwork in all kinds of different styles. And it's just a fun Twitter account to follow if you're into illustration and design and art and stuff like that.
All right. I'll give that a go.
Bugger.
Excellent. Good pick. Interesting.
Subscribed. Followed, rather.
And it was free.
That's free, yeah. Unless you just get some great artwork. And I've discovered some really great artists' work this way, too. If you just, I'm kind of a nerd when it comes to like illustrators and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. I follow a lot of them on now I'm going to blank on that it site where they post all their artwork. But anyway.
Yeah, clutches of characters, but yeah.
Dribble is the site that was.
That's good. That's good. Patrice, what have we got for us?
I have another really great podcast for you. It is from Gimlet Media. I don't know. You should know Gimlet by now. I mean, they had, I think, the most well-known podcast is Startup. The new podcast they've released is called Science Versus. And what they do is, I mean, they take all those fads, blogs, things that people might have strong opinions about, and really check the science side of it and say, okay, what is actually happening, and what do we know and what don't we know? And they really don't stay away from controversial topics. I mean, the first two episodes they released were about fracking and about attachment parenting. And the most recent one I haven't listened to, I think came out yesterday, is about guns and gun control.
Just to clarify, because of your accent, you said fracking.
Fracking, yes.
Yes, good.
Not the other thing.
No.
And it is, I mean, it is well produced, like any Gimlet Media show really is. And you actually learn a lot, I mean, about how, I mean, not just about the science of whatever they're talking about, but also what does it actually mean? What are the opinions about it? So it's a really great show. I can just highly recommend it. And it's free.
Excellent. Like it. We're doing well on free stuff tonight.
Yeah.
Only me and Don have cost you any money so far. Doc, have you got a pick, or did you just sleep through that as well?
No, like I said, Adam stole my pick because I was going to pick Stranger Things because it is literally a better 80s movie than any 80s movie. It is pretty much off the chain, but I come well prepared. Let me do a quick reiteration of something that I told you guys before because there's a time issue to this one. I talked to you guys before about something called Astute Graphics, which comes out of Hereford, England. But it's a really cool set of plugins available for people who use Illustrator versus follow Illustrator Twitter accounts. This is the most amazing, time-saving, incredible set of tools invented. It's a wonder Adobe hasn't bought these guys yet. But currently, right now, it's on sale for 60% off for the next couple of days. So I kind of call it a Brexit sale because these plugins would have normally set you back close to 1,000. But I just picked up all 14 plugins for about $280 US, which is pretty incredible. So it was a massive, massive sale. You have to go through the videos to see the type of stuff that it can do. But even if you're a rookie illustrator, if you buy this, you could go toe-to-toe with some guys who would probably charge you a hell of a lot more to do some of the stuff, you know, for yourself. Anyway, so that's my reiteration. And for my free pick, I want to give you this podcast, which I'm falling in love with. It's by one of my favorite authors named Malcolm Gladwell. He has a new podcast called Revisionist History, and he basically digs deeper into some things that came up in history that were either looked over, glazed over, or hardly touched because of their time period. And he goes back in, he finds the original players and stakeholders in the game, and he has some amazing, amazing stuff. One of the first ones I listened to was about Wilt Chamberlain's incredible game. But it's awesome, well-produced podcast. If you read any of Malcolm Gladwell's stuff, like what The Outliers and What the Dog Saw and some of his other great books, you'll find this just amazing, amazing. So it's a great podcast and it's free. I know Patrice will dig it.
Yeah, definitely will.
Excellent. Good pick. Stevie Boy.
Yeah, Steve, whose blackout curtain is coming down right now. I guess the duct tape decided not to hold up. But anyway, I'm going to do actually two, but I'm going to do them really fast. One software, and this is a little game called Diced. It's from Agile Tortoise is the name of the company. I think it's 99 cents. I just love it. It's one of those that you can start up. There's no time limit. It looks simple, but it's actually quite difficult, and it's a heck of a game. For my hardware one, recently did a review of the Bloom Sky weather, and well, I guess you could say weather station and webcam. It's actually a pretty impressive device. It's one that's connected to a number of apps, both for iOS and Android. You get a daily time lapse showing a picture every 5 seconds, or excuse me, every 5 minutes for an entire day from sunrise to sunset. It's kind of an amazing little weather station. The reason I'm kind of bringing this up is they currently have a crowdfunding a campaign going on to try to get money, and they've actually passed their goal. I think they passed it in less than 24 hours. But anyway, to come out with the second iteration, what they call the Sky 2 and the Storm, which actually adds some functionality to the device. But I just have to give them a thumbs up. It's probably one of the best amateur weather stations I've seen. So big thumbs up for them.
Excellent, mate. Cool. My cool thing is a review unit that I've been sent by Ring. The Ring has only just come to the UK. So you guys are all in the States are all going to go, oh, pff, the Ring, yeah, right, okay. But it's only just started to come out, and they've sent me a review unit, and they're not getting it back.
I told you.
So much fun. Actually, my review starts off, they're not getting this back without a court order.
Is that the doorbell?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Ring doorbell and Ring chime. It is awesome. It is the best thing I've reviewed ever. on this network. This is a quick video that you can see here. I'll put the full video in the thing. This is my wife. She, the motion sensor set it off so I could see her. I was actually in a meeting with a customer, and I'm showing the customer how this thing works, and he's like, oh, that's really cool, so you can see your house. Is that like a CCTV thing? I said, no, that's my wife at the moment, and I can talk to her. And he went, go on then. So I pressed the talk button just around now.
Hello.
And said, hello.
Hello.
And she said, hello. Will you stop stalking me? Because I could see her every time she came out. And then I said, I'm with the customer in the room.
Oh, there goes the cat. Conversation.
She goes, piss off. At just that point. So the customer was dead impressed. The next one, this is the best bit, the Amazon delivery guy. Here's the Amazon delivery guy. So he rings the bell, steps back a bit, and he's like, no, can't get in the porch. What am I going to do? No idea. And then he steps back, nearly treads on the cat. And I go, hello, mate. Yeah. I can't come down right
Bye,
now.
Hi, mate.
Could you just stick it in the green bin, please? And he says, yeah, no problem. So he goes over and he sticks it in the green bin, which is on the left here. Then, straight afterwards, I get a motion sensor alert. And I switch the camera on to see. He's actually back in the bin, having a look at me package again. And I'm thinking, he's put it in there. He's taken a picture of where he's left it or something. And he's coming back. He might nick it. So I went, hello, mate. And he shit himself.
Sorry, mate, what's up?
And then he said he was going to, he said, oh, no, I was just rescanning the barcode. Okay, cool. The ring, it is the best fun. It's just, I mean, it's serious.
It is.
But you can really put the shits at people with it as well. It's awesome. Because no one in the UK's seen it yet. It's just, we haven't had it long enough. You've got to buy the ring. It's 150 quid, and it's just the best money I haven't spent yet. But I will do. Because, I mean, otherwise...
The only reason I haven't invested in any cameras yet is the lack of HomeKit support for video cameras.
Oh, there are a couple.
Video camera systems.
There are actually a couple that do that.
I don't care. I just... my phone goes when it goes, and I'm just... let's have a look at that. And I look at it, and I'm like, wow, okay. And I can talk to people that I see on the motion sensor, or if they ring the bell, I'm kind of like... And it's worked 3 or 4 times this week when I've been up at the office... Because one of the problems is my alternate delivery address with Amazon is the office. It's 10 doors from where I live. Okay, the people that came to the batch know exactly how close that is. The Amazon driver could easily get this back. And they never bother because they're a bunch of lazy bastards. So now I don't have to worry about doing that. I can just say, yes, mate, stick it in the bin. And they put it in the bin. And no one's going to nick it because by the time they've gone off the drive, I'm already down there taking it out of the bin. But it just stops them not delivering at all. And there are a bunch of lazy tosspots around where we are.
What do you get when you buy the pro version instead?
I don't know, but I don't care because I don't want it. I just want this one. It's fine. It's just the standard version is brilliant.
Just Ring has announced HomeKit support, by the way. Last month, I think. Right. They said it'll be out before the end of the year. I don't know if it will require new hardware or not.
I don't care whether it is or not. If you go on Amazon, you can get it for $130. You've got to get the ring. I don't know if we're going to get a BTN code, so I might want to hold off for a week. But
that's cool. I've been looking at this for a while. I pass by it every time I have to buy more, and I just haven't pulled the trigger yet because I've been waiting to talk to Steve, and I just haven't bothered him because I thought he'd be on his old people cruise.
But oh, you mean Steve, the one with Don McAllister?
Yeah, so, oh, God, that's right. I'm sorry, you guys. You guys are bookending me with the elderly guys.
Do you want us to just give you another 2 minutes, and then you can piss off everybody?
Yeah, no problem. I can work my way around. I got a question. So the Apple TV 4 counts as a HomeKit hub, right? But actually now this Philips Hue is a HomeKit hub. Does that do the exact, when you have a hub, is it all a hub, or is it some do more and some do less? Because I wanted to buy an August lock, and it says the features I need would either require me to buy an August Connect or have an Apple TV 4 to act as the bridge. But is it my hub a bridge? Is there a difference?
There's a difference. The hub you need to connect third-party things. So like for Philips Hue, you need the Philips Hue bridge. The Apple TV is really for external access, so you can... just use Siri or iCloud when you're out and about, and it will basically just relay it. So that's a gateway.
All right. So in order to do what I want, I got to buy an Apple TV 4.
Or wait for iOS 10, because iOS 10 will also allow you to use an iPad if it's at home all the time.
He turns up late, he riles everyone up, and now he's getting pissy over spending money. Dude, get back to sod in bed, will you?
I just bought an $800 sander yesterday, so I got to kind of like...
Sander? $800 sander?
Yes. Oh, my God. It's the best thing ever. It's so crazy. I'm going to do a video of comparing my $150 sander versus $800 sander and why it literally makes a difference.
Oh, you'll get a lot of clicks for that, mate. Oh, yeah.
Oh, Festool is the most popular pro brand in the planet. Trust me. It's made in Germany. So everybody who's about Festool.
I've lit the blue touch, baby, that I shouldn't. Where can we get a hold of you, Don?
You can find me over at screencastonline.com, where you'll find all my weekly tutorials. Across on the App Store, just check out the SCO Showcase app and the Screencast Online monthly magazine. And, of course, I'm on Twitter as Don McAllister.
And Doc went on so long it went dark where you are.
No, it's still live.
Where are you, Adam?
You can find me at maccast.com, maccast on Twitter, and also at the iOS Show at theiosshow.com.
Excellent, mate. Patrice.
As always, every week here on The Mac Show, and all the links and everything I do on thepatrice.com.
Excellent. Dr. Light.
I'm going to answer you in about 3 minutes.
You're not going to break character then or anything?
At DOCROCK and on this network, taking crap from you lot.
On this network. Jesus Christ, mate. We'll have to have a word about that.
What does that mean?
You're hanging on by the skin of your teeth.
Bruh, just because you guys changed a couple of times to like 4 a.m. and it was easier when I was younger years ago.
You never turn up on time.
What?
You never turn up on time.
Oh my God, I beat some of you guys when it's like noon. Like I beat Adam all the time and it's noon o'clock where he lives.
Noon o'clock.
And Steve Sandy, where are you, sir?
I'm at appleworld.today just most of the time, and you can look me up on Twitter at Steven, Steven, Sandy, Sande.
And we finish just in time before the sun breaks through finally and burns you to death.
Which it will.
It will.
We're at 6,000 feet, so it'll...
You do look
ultraviolet. It'll just come right through.
You're in an outer space station in a Stanley Kubrick film.
Yeah.
And you're talking us down as you're
Colorado
about to die.
He's in Colorado. This is Mylar curtain in order to let the plants get proper air and light.
Right. Yes, he is.
Okay, I don't know. Fair enough. My name's Ewan Rankin. You came out, Ewan Rankin, on Twitter. We'll be back next week on the Mac Show at 7 o'clock. Doc will come in about 8:30 maybe. And we'll be back on The Big Show in a few minutes. Thanks for listening. See you all soon.
Okay, that was fascinating.
That was really fun.
Oh, God.
Yeah, Doc, what is it about you? You know, like he says, you show up a little late and kind of get on everybody's case here.
That's all right. Give some of you to pick
Benadryl,
on. So
man. Benadryl, allergy season here is kicking my ass, but the Benadryl definitely gets you a little buzz.
Oh, that's nice, Don. Doc meant that Ewan didn't pick on the rest of us. Like I'm the resident BTN bully.
Yeah.
That's his job.
Do Apple do a sander?